Hey everyone, I'm Brielle.
And I'm Michelle, and together we're the Wine Pro and the Wino.
Each week we'll chat about wine and break it down to make it more relatable and easier to understand.
And we'll do it all with glasses in hand, so you know the pressure's off.
I'm the Wine Pro. I regularly teach wine classes and started my own wine consulting business, Viva La Vino, in 2017.
And I'm Michelle, the Wino. I love drinking wine and learning about it. So whether you're a Wino like me or a Wine Pro like Brielle, you're welcome here.
We share a common goal, to bring people together through wine.
So pour yourself a glass and let's get started. That was pretty solid.
I think that was pretty good.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wine Pro and the Wino. I am your Wine Pro, Brielle.
And I'm your Wino, Michelle. How are you doing today, Brielle?
I am great. I am so thankful that you had the wonderful idea for this episode to drink your cocktail for your upcoming wedding as we talk about wine and weddings and what to expect and how to handle it. So I am loving this Aperol Spritz. How are you, Michelle?
I am loving this Aperol Spritz as well. I'm doing great. I figured that I will not get a chance to actually drink my Aperol Spritz at the wedding, so I'm trying to drink as many as I can beforehand to make up for that fact.
I'm super excited for your wedding. I think we have to go back. You and I met this time last year via Instagram when you were super kind to me in the comments of my first ever post. And a year later, not only do we have a podcast that we're starting together, not only have we hung out in real life countless times, not only have we eaten cheese and talked about wine and laughed about all of the trials and tribulations of our small businesses, but I am coming to your wedding and you to mine.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
I think it's really lovely. I really do. I think one of the most wonderful things about this whole small business on Instagram journey has been meeting you. Is this so sappy to say? I'm excited that we're friends.
I'm going to start getting emotional. I'm already feeling the effects of the Aperol Spritz, so don't get me crying over here.
There is a bit of magic in an Aperol Spritz. But so let's talk today about wedding cocktails, wedding wine, how to approach it if you are a wedding guest, if you are the one getting married, if you are helping someone plan their wedding, how wine factors into everything, and what we recommend as people who are planning weddings, as people who attend a lot of weddings ourselves, of how you can kind of master whatever comes with the wine, or how you can navigate the world of wine and weddings.
Absolutely. I think right now, because of COVID and everything getting pushed, I've heard that 2022 is the year of weddings. And it looks like 2023 is also becoming the year of weddings. So right now, Everyone is either postponing their wedding. We got engaged in 2022. We didn't want to do it in 2021.
You didn't get engaged in 2022. It's now.
That is now. All right. Sorry. We got engaged in 2020 and we didn't want to get married in 2021 just based on COVID. We didn't know what it was going to look like. So we pushed till March of 2022. And so now we are realizing that a lot of other people did the same thing, and Brielle included. It's been definitely an experience, and especially for wedding guests, because I'm going to a wedding next weekend. So it's as a wedding guest and someone who is hosting a wedding, it is alcohol and wine and all the spirits and wonderful things is at the center of a wedding. Side note, the famous gospel when Jesus and Cana turned water into wine at a wedding.
Best part of the whole Bible. Can I just talk to you about that? The best part of the entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, I don't care where you fall on the Testament scale, mm-hmm. Jesus turning water into wine. Can he come to my wedding and do that? Because wine is expensive.
Honestly, and they said it was the best wine. That's what the guy, the head waiter said, that it was the best wine that he ever had. And it
all
was
of Canaan.
And so I really think that wine and alcohol in general brings people together at a wedding. It brings people feeling good, celebrating. It is the center of celebration. And that's why we need to talk about drinking at weddings today.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about the different kinds of wine that you can serve at weddings, the wonderful cocktails you can use wine in as your signature cocktails at weddings. And then also as you approach wedding season, which for me is this entire year, how you can approach drinking at a wedding, especially if you're a wine lover like me, in a way that allows you to drink all night but also feel okay the next day.
Totally. Because you don't want to be the person at the wedding who's completely embarrassing yourself. You also want to have a good time. And you also want to wake up at the next morning not feeling like you were hit in the head with a bag of potatoes.
Let's first and foremost use that phrase to describe hangovers for the rest of time. And also acknowledge that weddings after 30s, especially open bar weddings after 30, take some practice to get used to. So, Michelle, we have someone super special joining the podcast today. My best friend, Molly, who is also a victim of 2020's wedding bust, thanks to COVID, yeah, and is replanning a wedding for 2022. So you're planning a wedding for 2022. So am I. So is my friend, Molly. She is also a wine lover. She is who I started drinking a lot of wine with, took a lot of wine classes with. So, Molly, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
We kind of just threw her into this. She just like stopped by and I was like, yo, you want to record a podcast? Here's some kava. Let's go.
Here we are.
Look, another 2022 bride. I feel like it's just a theme. So we had to include you.
Yeah.
Welcome. Thanks to the show. Including me.
So, Michelle, let's get started. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your wedding? Your wedding is very different from my wedding, is very different from Molly's wedding, but all of them are happening. All of them are going to include wine. All of them are going to probably have different approaches to wine. So let's talk a little bit about how wine is working into all of the weddings that we're planning.
Awesome. Yeah. So for me, I am having your typical New York, New Jersey ballroom wedding. It's going to be one of those glitz, glam, like chandeliers and all that stuff. So I'm very excited. And when people walk into the venue, they'll be greeted with one of a couple things. So it's either a bottle of champagne. I'm not giving
I'll take a bottle of champagne.
they're either going to get a glass of champagne with a seasonal berry, which I don't know if it's actually champagne. I might have to quiz them a little bit. Champagne, they're going to get like sparkling water. My signature drink, which is an Aperol Spritz, or my fiance's signature drink, which I think will be an Old Fashioned. So they can pick any of those when they walk into the venue. It's going to be one of those you walk in, so you have something in hand while you're coming in. So once, or red or white wine. Our red wine is a Cab Sav, of course, my true and true. And the white is a Chardonnay because it seems to be the most, although it's polarizing, it seems to be like the most wedding appropriate, in my opinion.
You know, I'm having a Chardy party right now, so I can't decide what I'm going to drink. I have two months to think about what I'm going to start with at your wedding. I'm going to drink all of it.
You're
I have 2 months to think about what I'm going to start with.
We can talk about that. So once people get into the venue, there's an open bar, anything that you want, liquor, beer. We have White Claw as well, which is something that I requested specifically.
It's going to be a debaucherous night for me, my friend.
And all the good stuff, everything. So we are going to have everything. We'll obviously also have like toasts and like nicer alcohol and crappier alcohol. They say it's premium open bar, but I don't know what that means. So we'll see.
It's going to be great.
I think so too. And then we also have, for dinner, for like the main course, after the cocktail hour, we're going to have like steak. So I'm going to want to have wine with the steak. And we have a Viennese hour. So they have port wine. So there's a lot of.
Stop it. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be port at the end with those takeaway boxes with the desserts?
Yes, there is.
Hell yes, Michelle.
There's a lot of options.
Oh my God. Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
How did you not mention that yet?
Oh, yeah, there's port and cordial. So there's a bunch of different, like, Baileys, Kahlua, whiskeys, bourbons.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, I'm pumped. This is going to be great. We don't even need to talk about my wedding. We need to talk about it.
But the thing is, there's going to be a lot. So I have to refrain myself from mixing things. I also was thinking I'm not going to have my Aperol Spritz, which is my favorite mixed cocktail, because I'll be wearing a white dress and I'm very clumsy and I'm very afraid that I will be spilling it and that would be terrible.
I just think I should hold it and come around and give you a sip and then take it away so there's no chance of you spilling it. That's what I'll do.
I appreciate your dedication, but I didn't invite you to my wedding so you could be my Aperol Spritz holder.
I mean, it is a good role for me, though.
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Sounds like a role of honor.
It is a role of honor. Yeah. You have your maid of honor, you have your bridesmaids, and then you have your Aperol Spritz attendant. That's me. Who's that chick who keeps following Michelle around with alcohol? Oh, that's Brielle. Yeah. We don't know where she came from, but she just won't leave. She just follows people around with wine. Yeah.
My personalized attendant. All right, let's hear about yours.
Okay, so mine is pretty radically different than yours. We got engaged in 2019. We're supposed to get married in 2020, learned pretty early on in 2020 that that wasn't going to happen, then pivoted and thought we were going to get married in 2021. In the first part of the year, we thought we were going to get married in like May. Then we thought we were going to get married in October. Now we are confirmed, knock on wood, you know, God willing, for May of 2022. And we are effectively eloping to a winery in Oregon with our immediate family, so our parents and our siblings. And so for the actual wedding, we will only be having wine from that winery. More to come as I share which winery that is. And then we're going to spend the weekend kind of exploring the Willamette Valley of Oregon with our families, taking them to a couple wine tastings, which I'm excited to share more about as we confirm those as well.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And so obviously wine is a big part of my life. I'm getting married and taking photos amongst vines, so very happy about that. And then because we have such big families and we're very fortunate to have great groups of friends, we're going to do small celebrations in our respective families' backyards. So one in the suburbs of New York City in New Jersey and one in Los Angeles. And we are therefore in control of the wines that we'll serve at those events too. So we'll probably just do wine and beer because there's not going to be a ton of people and they're going to be outside. And so actually my partner Matt and I are deciding who we want to order our wine from and what kinds we want to have. And very comically, we are thinking about what kind of cool, weird stuff we want to have because, you know, we're not tied to a venue's menu. We can kind of go completely off the cuff. So I keep proposing these absolutely wacky wines, and not wacky in so much that they're weird or funky or, you know, but they are lesser known grapes or lesser known areas. And I'm super excited about it. But excuse me, similarly, I'm already thinking, I don't have that much of a tolerance. So I'm going to order all this good wine and then just be like two glasses in like, woo, woo. So it's going to be really fun. But yeah, the cool thing is we'll get to have a bunch of different kinds, and it's almost like I'm going on tour. So I get to have like three different editions of this. So,
you need three different dresses. Absolutely three different dresses.
Oh man. I don't know if I can manage that. I just got one and I feel really good about it.
So, I have some white things you can borrow.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. But I don't know what I'm going to do with all these white dresses I'm wearing to these events after their events are over. So.
Oh, wait, I'm not having any of those events. Can I borrow them?
That's what I'm saying.
What same size? Oh God, you're the best. Okay, Molly, would you want to tell us a little bit about what your plans are for 2022?
Yeah. So
I want to hear the engagement stuff first and then go into the original.
Oh, yeah. When did you engage?
Oh, right. And then. So we got engaged comically long ago. We got engaged in August of 2018. We were in Disney World for vacation, and there's a beautiful restaurant at the top of the Contemporary called the California Grill, which like
overlooked. I love it there.
The overlooks the Magic Kingdom. Are you a Disney
Michelle,
lover?
Aren't you wearing like mini sweatpants? Sorry, should I not say that?
Are you a Disney adult?
I am a Disney adult. That's where our second honeymoon is going to be. And we got engaged in the backyard, and Nico pretended that we were in Disney World.
Oh.
He bought like a big inflatable screen, and then he like projected the Magic Kingdom on the screen. Yeah.
Oh, that's so
because we couldn't be there because it was 2020. So.
Right. Yeah.
We had to improvise.
Sucks. So in 2018, everything was fine with the world. And we were having dinner at the California Grill. I have a 7-year-old, he's presently 7, son, and we scooped him off to the kids club for the evening. and we're like, see ya, mom and dad are going somewhere else. And so they brought us our drinks. I don't remember what I ordered to drink, probably wine of some sort. And they brought like a chafing dish, and so like, oh, like the chef wanted to like bring you something, and they opened it up, and it was a glass slipper that has like our names on it, like one of those Ariba Brothers like glass slippers. It was so with our names and the date. So it was August 31st, 2018, and then it had like fondant ribbons that said like, will you marry me, and Comically, he was so nervous, which is bizarre because we were like living together and like we were very clearly on the road to marriage, but he was so nervous that he forgot to like get down on one knee and thank God for someone at like the back of the restaurant, because everyone then like turned and looked at us and they were like, get down on one knee. So thank God for that man at the back of the restaurant. And then we made friends from Long Island who took our photos, and Dad owns a DJ business. And I mean, we just like, you know, as you do at Disney, everything, we made friends with like every single person. So that was how we got engaged.
That's amazing.
And then I kind of thought that we wanted like a long-ish engagement. So we booked a wedding for Labor Day of 2020.
The irony.
The irony, yeah.
engagement. Wait until you see what we've got in store for you.
Yeah. So we had a really long engagement. But so we didn't get our September 2020 wedding. And they just kind of got back to us very recently about booking a 2022 wedding. And so we now, in the last like 2 weeks, have booked our August of 2022 wedding, which is very exciting. So we just have lots of anniversaries. and yeah, I'm pretty excited. We don't have a lot of the details like ironed out, but it's in the New Jersey area, New York, New Jersey. It's a ski resort. So we'll be married on a mountaintop, which will be beautiful.
Oh, fun.
You can take a gondola up.
I can't wait.
So that'll be super fun. And I think we will also have, I don't know if it's technically champagne, but sparkling something at the top while you're,
oh, that's awesome,
while you're waiting. And then we'll have a full cocktail hour, open bar. There'll be signature drinks, but all of those details have not been ironed out just yet. But I'm super excited.
Yeah, you have a bit of time, but it's awesome that you were able to rebook it and that you're going to get to go through the process of like planning it now, because you've been waiting
again.
So long.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oops, we did it again.
Oops, we did it again. Okay, so we're obviously all taking slightly different wine approaches to weddings. Here's what I recommend when people come to me from a consulting standpoint and say, hey, I'm having a wedding. Can you help me figure out how much wine I need or what wine to have? So here are some of my hard and fast recommendations. First and foremost, a lot of people love having champagne, but champagne often gets really pricey. So I recommend, if you definitely want to have champagne at your wedding, you can have champagne for the toast, but then do a budget bubble for everything else. Get a Prosecco, get a Cava, because after a certain amount of time, people fail to be able to perceive the kind of nuance of bubbles and instead start saying, this wine is bubbly, as opposed to, wow, the champagne is really refined. That's my first tip. Go ahead, Michelle.
When people have, well, also, I think most people can't tell the difference to begin with. Most wedding guests are going to have whatever bubbly is in their glass, probably detect that there's some form of alcohol in it, and then enjoy it and say that they had champagne. So to expense, I would spend money somewhere else and not on quote-unquote champagne. I would just buy a $10 bottle of Prosecco and throw it at the table.
Yeah, one of my favorite Proseccos to have for events, for cocktails, for the masses, is Kirkland Prosecco from Costco. It's really, really budget friendly, and it is really, really good. And I just learned that they make Prosecco Rosé now, and I haven't had the Kirkland Prosecco Rosé, so I gotta get my little behind to a Costco and try that soon.
That sounds delicious. Prosecco Rosé has become my new favorite.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'll be popping in the morning, but when I'm getting ready with my bridesmaids, is Prosecco Rosé. I have La Marca, and then I also have a bottle of Veuve Champagne Rosé. So I have, I'm doing the same thing. So I have a nicer bottle, and then I'll have a not so nice bottle.
Yeah,
even though La Marca Prosecco is delicious.
Yeah, it's one of my go-tos.
It's a good one.
So that's my recommendation for bubbles. When it comes to serving wine, I think, Michelle, what you were just saying makes a ton of sense. One red and one white is generally enough. Because especially if you have things beyond wine and beer, people are going to gravitate toward your signature cocktail or liquor or other kind of mixed drinks, especially if you have a full bar. And wine is wonderful to pair with the different options you have for dinner. But most people don't really have a particular preference when it comes to white wine. They'll say, do you have a Sauvignon Blanc? And somebody will say, oh, we just have Chardonnay. And they'll say, okay. It's very, very rare. I used to actually bartend for weddings, and it was really rare that somebody would ask for something. We would say, I'm sorry, that's not on as part of our service today. And they'd be like, oh, geez, right? They'd always be like, okay, I'll just have whatever you have. So I think keeping it to two wines, unless you are doing something that you have a lot more control over, like having a bunch of people over in your backyard, which is what I'm doing, I think that is one of the times that you can kind of go a little wild. But otherwise, for wine, one red, one white, and a budget bubbly for dinner and for the duration of the wedding is more than appropriate.
Absolutely. And I think if you're having spirits to go along with it, then there's no need to have more than what you just said.
Totally. And I really do love the idea of having signature cocktails. And I'm a little biased. I love when signature cocktails involve wine. So your signature cocktail, Michelle, of an Aperol Spritz is going to be so much fun. I mean, we're sipping them right now and they're delicious and they're so fun.
Absolutely.
But I think if you did like a French 75, if you wanted to do any kind of Lambrusco cocktail or red wine cocktail, they're always fun. They're really interesting. And especially if you're a wine lover, it allows you to bring something even more unique into however you're celebrating.
Totally. And I think that's kind of what my thought process was. Originally, I wanted to have a Moscow Mule, but the venue doesn't have copper cups and I refuse to have a Moscow Mule that's not in the copper cup, which I know is a little absurd, but
no, it's not.
My second favorite cocktail is a Aperol Spritz. And I was like, this is it. This is what I got to do. I actually purchased a bunch of paper straws, like swirly paper straws to go with it to make it look a little fancier. And I'll just give them to the venue to use with them. But I think it's refreshing. I think it's something nice to have while you're enjoying cocktail hour. And I also think it's something that if people haven't tried it or they don't want to like order it at a restaurant because it's a little intimidating, this is a perfect time to try an Aperol Spritz.
Yeah, I agree. And it's low stakes, right? You try it, you don't like it, you can put it down, but you're going to like it. It's delightful. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit. We talked about how you can approach wine when you are the person hosting the wedding, how to kind of select it for your menu. But what about when you are a wine guest and you are a wine lover? How do you approach drinking at a wedding? And a lot of times people say, you know, I can't drink too much wine, I get a wine headache. We'll address that in a later episode about sulfites and how that's not true. But really what happens is you kind of want to have a drink in hand all night, especially if you're like me and you're on the dance floor the whole time. But red wine, especially, and many white wines are high enough in alcohol that a couple glasses is going to knock you a bit. And so here's my game plan for every wedding I go to. I discovered this, I want to say probably 20 weddings ago. So I've got that many under my belt using this technique and I haven't been wronged yet.
I start
with a signature cocktail if it's one that speaks to me. If not, I start with bubbles and I just don't stop. Sparkling wine is lower in alcohol than still wine, almost always. So you're dealing with a drink that is not going to be nearly as potent as your still wine, nearly as potent as your cocktails or your liquor. The only thing it's going to rival is beer. And if you're me or if you're like me, I can drink about two beers and then I'm full. So bubbly wine gives me that same kind of buzz, that same kind of sparkle and excitement, but it's not too filling and it's not too high in alcohol. So I can drink bubbly all night. The other added bonus of this, especially what you were talking about earlier, Michelle, about not wanting to spill. If you bring a glass of bubbly out into the dance floor and it splashes in any direction, you're not going to stain anybody. It's not going to be a huge deal. And you get this added bonus of it's probably going to be served in a champagne flute. And that makes it easier to dance with without it splashing out of your glass. And also, it looks so classy. So I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a glass of sparkling wine at a wedding. And whoever I'm with, whatever friend group or family group, looks at me and goes, okay, classy. And like, you know, it does have this like air of classiness to it. But it's also delicious. It's going to pair with everything you're eating, save maybe the big steak you're having as your main course. But it's also really fun and the bubbles kind of get you excited. And so you can dance all night, not worry about spilling anything on the bride or anyone else for that matter.
Really. Absolutely.
So that's my advice. Unsolicited, but here I give it.
It is solicited. You're the wine pro. You have to give advice. Otherwise, I'd be lost.
Yeah, but this advice is like, here's how I drink when I am alone.
I'll give you my go-to wedding. This is what I normally
please
do.
Please.
I drink to capacity and then I pass out. I'm kidding.
We're not going to edit that out. We're going to keep that in.
I have control of the editing.
Okay.
I might keep it in. We'll see. So I normally, I start with a signature cocktail as well, just because I need to try it. I'm usually very curious, unless it's something whiskey-based, which I'm not a big whiskey fan. I wish I was, because I think it's so cool, but I just can't do it. Anything whiskey bourbon, I'm just like, give me something else. But I'll usually start with the signature cocktail as well. And then I'm a big at, like what you were saying with the champagne or Prosecco or bubbles, I like, if they have a White Claw, that's why I asked for White Claw for my wedding, I will go for any kind of seltzer, mostly because it's only 5% alcohol. You can drink it a little slowly because of the bubbles. And also, like, sometimes people at weddings can be a little obnoxious. So if there is any pressure of like, oh, you don't have anything, you can hold an empty can for an hour without, like, you know what I mean?
Without somebody being like, come on, let's get something in your glass.
Exactly. Yeah. In case you feel like you need to take a break and you need to calm down. So I do think that is a little, I know that you shouldn't feel like that, but sometimes I do. And I, you have to have a cop out every once in a while. But
that's a really great tip. That's an awesome tip.
I do enjoy having that. And I'm also a huge water drinker. So I always have, I'll always go to the bar and ask for water. And I'll get water with lemon, so I feel a little fancier, water with lime or some seltzer if I'm feeling fantastic. And yeah, that's usually my my go-to wedding. And then once I drink too many White Claws, then I'll probably drink more things and not be as responsible. But I usually try to at least stay hydrated and make sure I bring Advil for the next morning.
Yeah. Mal, what about you? How do you approach drinking at a wedding?
I say thank you. I'm trying to think. I usually agree with the signature cocktail. I feel like if there is one, I do like to try it. I'm also with Michelle, and I'm not a big whiskey drinker. So I don't love like old fashions or anything like that. But I usually either like ride that signature cocktail train or I'll move to like a mix, like a vodka soda or like just something that's like kind of diluted.
Yeah.
And then I'll just sip it slow.
Yeah.
So that I'm still holding it, and but it's not like chugging hard alcohol.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So both of these are also great suggestions. And I think the commonality between all three of us is we're saying we like to have something in hand for the duration of the evening, but those evenings can be 6 hours long. And so diluting hard alcohol or starting with something like a seltzer that's lower in alcohol and will still satisfy that craving to kind of take a sip, or bubbly that's naturally low in alcohol. Like, we're all kind of hovering around the same thing, which I think leads to our next point, Michelle, that we talked about earlier. And that's how to avoid feeling like absolute crap the next day.
Totally.
You're the queen of this, Michelle. And the like TLDR is hydrate yourself. Drink water.
Holla if you hydrate.
Holla if you hydrate, my friends.
Hydrate or die.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
It's very important to have water. I think, like, I'm a big water drinker. I drink over a gallon a day, like, very well known. But I'm also a fast drinker, which is another reason that I can get into trouble. If I only have alcohol around me, I can finish something very quickly. And I think that's because I drink a lot of water. So I make sure that I am constantly drinking water at the table. Make sure that your table that you're sitting at has water at it. And then if not, I always ask the waiter to bring a pitcher, because chances are everybody else at the table needs water as well. And then that way you can always fill it up while you're sitting down at the table eating your meal.
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, is making sure that you have your own kind of strategy about how you're going to stay hydrated. What I try to do is make sure that between every glass of bubbly that I drink, I finish the water glass that is at my place on the table. And granted, that's being filled up consistently, but I should really do what you do, Michelle. I should ask for a pitcher so I can fill it up myself. And listen, you're still going to keep the buzz. I promise. You're going to have to pee a lot, but
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It means that the next day you're not going to feel like crap. I do have a secret weapon, but Molly, what do you do? What's your strategy?
So I think it's all been covered, right? Drink in between, like one drink, one water, hydrate. I love the pitcher idea. I feel like I'm going to steal that.
Yeah.
A couple weddings coming up. My little secret weapon, not sponsored, pack a liquid IV for the next morning and just like drink it before you go to bed with the Tylenol and you're good to go the next
day. I've never tried that.
If you watch your sodium, be careful. But
yeah,
they're high in sodium, but they are great.
You know what's funny?
I love liquid IV. I've never thought about that. Yeah, I'll totally.
I've never had it. I'm going to have to try it. This is also not a sponsored recommendation, but it is my dirty little secret. I drink Alka-Seltzer before I go to bed after a wedding. So Alka-Seltzer tablets have the same active ingredient as Tylenol. They are little tablets. They fizz up in water. And I now have this weird Pavlovian response to it. As soon as I take a sip of a bubbly Alka-Seltzer, and shout out to my father-in-law for making this a standard practice in his family.
That is a very father-in-law thing to use Alka-Seltzer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I go to Costco and I buy like the 90 pack of individual packets and I have them on me at all times because I use them anytime I have an upset stomach, anytime I'm feeling kind of queasy. I could be in the car for a long stretch of time and get a little nauseous. And I'm like, I'm just going to take an Alka-Seltzer. And it really does settle your stomach. It's like drinking a Coca-Cola and having that kind of that syrup coat your stomach, but I'm not a big soda fan. So I err on the side of this active ingredient is, I think it's acetaminophen. I think it's the same as Tylenol. I think so. And so it's like, it forces you to drink 16 ounces of water and is the equivalent of taking 2 painkillers. So I do that before I go to bed, which hydrates me even more. And then the next morning, I generally feel like, let's be honest, I'm over 30, so I don't feel great. But I feel a lot better than I would if I hadn't taken it.
That's a great idea. I've never had Alka-Seltzer before, period. So maybe I'll have to invest in some.
Yeah,
I'll throw them in the welcome bag.
We're going to have to do a combo of, or like a hangover cure off. Between liquid IV and Alka-Seltzer.
Totally.
Yeah.
The episode after the wedding.
The episode after the wedding. That's what we're going to do. Okay, so we talked about how you can prepare as a wedding host to approach wine, how you can be a wedding guest and approach wine, and how you can prevent yourself from being mad at yourself from drinking wine the next morning. What else do we have to cover about wine and weddings?
Do people stick with the same beverage? Is that still a thing that people are like, liquor before beer, you're in the clear?
Oh, yeah. I say that to myself like every time I'm at a bar. I still whisper that to myself.
Oh, I don't.
Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, you'll get even sicker. I'll just stick with wine because it's not even in that. It's not even in the phrase. It's like, wine, you're fine. I made my own rhyme. Wine, you're fine.
I can disprove that very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, I just mix however I see fit.
I think like mixing has been something like I try to stay away from, but I feel like sometimes at a wedding it's inevitable, especially when you've had one too many and you're like, oh this is a great idea.
Start ripping shots. Yeah.
My wedding has a tequila luge, so there's tequila shots. I'm gonna have to have a tequila shot.
This is gonna be insane. I'm so sorry in advance for my attendance at your wedding and what it will mean for everyone.
It's going to be great. I think as long as people eat enough, and there's plenty of food, that's another thing. It's making sure that you're eating enough. And I think most weddings have a lot of food, but sometimes when you are somewhere where you haven't seen people for a while and you're catching up and you're in conversation and then you start dancing on the dance floor and you realize that you haven't eaten as much as you should, that's another thing. So just make sure you're eating, get the bread or carb-like things and eat that.
Yeah, eat the fried food. It pairs wonderfully with sparkling wine, so it's going to be great. Eat the appetizers, hit the seafood trays, get your protein, get your carbs, and drink a lot of water so that you can enjoy yourself thoroughly and not feel too yucky the next day.
I think that's it. I think you just summed everything up and within the last 15 seconds spiel that you just had.
Send it. That's it. I think we did it. I think we covered most of it.
We solved wedding hangovers.
We solved it. And you know what, Michelle? You and I are going to test this out. How many weddings do you have to go to this year?
Not as many as you. Like 5.
Okay. Molly, how many weddings are on your docket?
So 3 plus mine.
Okay, cool. I have 15. So I will report back.
Stop.
Yeah, I have 15. Yeah, I've gone to a couple of them so far. But like this year, I have 15.
How many have you had so far? I mean, right now, as we record this, this is mid-January. How many have you had so far?
So I'm talking 12 months from September to September, or from August to August. 6. I've gone to 6 so far. So I have 9 more.
That sounds like a party. lots of parties.
Yeah, I'll
lots
report of back
really
on
expensive
all...
parties.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for acknowledging that. Yes. I'll report back on all 15 of them, including the 9 I have yet to go to. Wow. I'll bring some champagne in my purse. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, we still have some time before your wedding, and I am so excited to attend based on all of the things that you've just told me are going to exist there. But we will keep everyone posted on how our weddings go, how our new tried and true strategies for approaching wine, whether we are hosting or whether we are toasting, goes. And
I know.
So please let us know if you adopt any of this hydration, carbo-loading, Alka-Seltzer liquid IV strategy. Let us know how it goes for you.
And make sure that you hydrate while you're at these weddings and make sure you have a good time. So don't overthink about everything that we've just said. It's more as a guideline, and don't overdo it.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you.
Honestly, stay hydrated. You can overdo it if you want to. Just like make sure you pack Alka-Seltzer with you or some liquid IV.
Yeah, you do you, but also be careful and hydrate. Yeah.
And more than anything, if you're going and you're going to be enjoying, make sure you either are staying at the hotel and there's a ride, or you are Ubering back and don't drink and drive.
Yeah, absolutely. We endorse responsible imbibing and also having a good time while you imbibe. So be careful on the way home. But Michelle, I can't wait for your wedding.
I can't wait for your wedding.
Molly, I can't wait for your wedding.
I can't wait for your wedding. And Michelle, I can't wait to see pictures.
I can't wait to see pictures of yours either.
Cheers. Great. Cheers, ladies. Thanks for joining as we talk about our 2022 weddings to be and everything else we have going on. It's going to be a wild ride, but we're going to get through it.
We got this.
Cheers everybody.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Hey, if you're a wino and want to learn more about wine, check out Brielle's business, Viva Livino, and sign up for a wine class.
And make sure to follow along on Instagram at The Wine Pro and The Wino for lots of fun wine content, and subscribe to us here. If you get a chance, we'd love you to give us a 5-star review. We hear it helps. New episodes drop every Monday, so we hope you'll tune in.
Thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to sip with you next time.
Cheers!